brought to you almost live from the Dude in the Basement Studios. Why? Because that's where the good stuff is. It sips, suds, and smokes with your smoking host, the good old boys. It's sippin' time.
Hey, it's sippin' time again. Welcome to this Sips episode, where everything good in life is worth discussing. As always, we are the best thing on at 2 a.m.
Well, that's because they moved us from 1 a.m., so
well,
too
they
much
had
competition.
To. Yeah, 1 a.m., we're getting our backsides handed to us. So, well, at least at 2, now we're the king. So, it's good to be the king. So.
Yes.
This is Made Man Bob, and joining me today are Made Man Brent.
Hey, thanks for having me. I brought my camera to take pictures of everything.
Is that because there's Japanese whiskey?
Yes.
Are you going to like go to Disney World now?
I am going to Disney World.
Okay. Well, yeah. Okay. Banned in Tokyo now. And Made Man Maury.
Good morning, Bob. Excited for another fine morning in the basement.
And good old boy Justin.
Good morning. Thanks for bringing out the wonderful sushi pairing, although I don't know how the wasabi is going to be with this whiskey. But we'll see.
You're supposed to eat it, not snort it.
Oh, damn.
Oh, well, what are we going to do? All right. So our sip segments are all about distilled spirits, tea, coffee, and other things that we drink. And here's the whiskeys we're going to be discussing today. We have a selection from Black Bull. We have the Black Bull Kylo Blended Scotch Whiskey, the Black Bull 12-Year Blended Scotch Whiskey, the Black Bull 21-Year-Old Blended Scotch Whiskey, and the Black Bull 40-Year-Old Blended Scotch Whiskey. And then from Kaiyo from Japan, we have the Kaiyo Whiskey the Single, we have the Kaiyo Mizunara Cask, we have the Kaiyo Cask Strength Mizunara, and we have the Kaiyo Whiskey the Kuri Chestnut.
So eight whiskeys that I've never ever heard of before. I'm going to learn.
Eight out of eight.
I'm running 100,000%.
Wow, he's going to learn something. I'm getting nervous. All right, so we're going to have Justin. Oh, I know we're going to get in trouble for this. Okay, we're going to have Justin do our sips rating.
Just ban us already.
Today I've brought back Noriyuki Pat Morita from the dead. Otherwise known as Mr. Miyagi from Karate Kid.
Sam from Happy Days?
Yeah, yeah. Exactly.
Mr. Miyagi, I'm excited.
One sip. Give me a glass of water to wash out my mouth.
Water.
No, not buying it at all.
Nope,
no,
not
very
easy.
Close.
Two sips. Nice, but what else do you have?
Well, isn't that nice?
That was kind of like a guy, Japanese guy, doing an impression of Sean Connery. At the end.
I got the Sean Connery.
Yeah.
That's appropriate for this show.
If you remember that one movie of Sean Connery, one Bond movie where he went to Japan and they like gave him plastic surgery, tried to make him look Japanese, and you know, like, oh, that worked real well. Yeah. Yeah. Okay. I'm buying it now. Yeah.
Three sips. Interesting. What was this again?
Straight into the gutter.
We don't have to worry about getting banned in one country.
Yeah. Yeah, it's already done.
It's doubled.
Four sips. Let's keep this secret to ourselves. Pour me another.
No. That's classified.
Danielson, wax on, wax off. That's how you do it.
Five sips. Oh, my. I was unaware anything could be this good.
Oh,
yeah,
my goodness.
Some days he's on, some days he's off. Today
some
was
days
an off.
He's
day.
Wax, on, wax off.
Waxing it on.
Yeah, apparently it's wax off today. So, yeah, I'm not feeling that one. But
he's all used right. To,
so
he's
let's
used to waxing off.
Oh, yeah, he's good at waxing off. Why he wears those glasses. All right, so.
More important to wax off than wax on.
Yeah. Well, we're going to have.
After wax off is wax on.
Straight in the toilet, yeah. All right, so let's have Maury tell us about our first whiskey.
Well, thank you, Bob. Black Bull blended Scotch whiskey was created by George Wilshire in his Dundee grocery store in 1864. George Wilshire believed in offering his customers the ultimate experience in taste and flavor. By using a minimum of 50% malt whiskey in his blends, he sacrificed profit for flavor, further enhancing his reputation. As a farmer,
I love Scotch. Scotchy, Scotch, Scotch. Here it goes down, down into my belly.
That was Brent.
As a farmer, Wilshire bred his own cattle, his favorite bull taking pride of place on the label on his most iconic whiskey. In 1897, Black Bull was introduced to the European market, and Wilshire opened his own distillery, the Cool Distillery, to help support the brand's needs. Pre-Prohibition, Black Bull has been one of the largest blended whiskeys imported into the U.S., but was one of the victims of dry America. With the end of Prohibition, the brand was reintroduced to America in 1933, and by 1974, they were selling 80,000 cases a year in the U.S. market. In 2001, the brand was acquired by Duncan Taylor & Company, one of the premier independent bottlers of Scotch whiskey in the world. Based in Huntly, Aberdeenshire, for more than 80 years, they have continued to lay down premium casks from various distilleries around the world, as well as brokering casks, blending, and bottling whiskeys for the global Scotch whiskey market. So our first whiskey is the Black Bull Kylo Blended Scotch Whiskey at 50% ABV or 100 proof. This whiskey has a nice pale gold color. On the nose, we get a beautiful, rich toffee along with some apple, pear, brown sugar, and a little hint of toasted oak. On the palate, this is a really nice whiskey. It's really surprising. Coats your palate nicely. It goes down smoothly. We're getting lots of hazelnuts, some milk chocolate, hint of malt, and raisin. The finish is creamy. It's definitely full of vanilla. I would consider it medium to long. There's lots of oak on the finish. I think this is really a wonderful whiskey, and especially when you consider that the price, it's a very affordable entry-level price whiskey. To me, this is something that very approachable. Almost anybody could drink. It's an all-day sipper. You could drink it by the fire. You could drink it by the pool. I really found this whiskey to be a really pleasant surprise and really enjoyed it. What did you think, Brent?
If this was on the shelf and I started drinking this first, I might enjoy Scotch whiskey more than I do, because it kind of, you know, all those tasting notes that you had were dead on. It's just a beautiful expression with those fruits, the brown sugar, the milk chocolate on the palate.
Yeah, really, it's like a little
it is. You know, it's not quite drinking like a glass of milk chocolate, but it's got that flavor in there that just enhances the fruits.
It was fun.
It is very fun. It's very enjoyable, and I don't know why I've not heard of this before, but I think they need to get their word out, and you know, maybe a lot of people would enjoy this. I just think that it's going
to
be hard.
I think it's hard to find someone who wouldn't like this.
Right. I just think that if you gave it to somebody and knew nothing about whiskey or scotch or bourbon, and you gave it to them, and they'd be like, huh, I think I'll get into this. This is enjoyable. How would you not like it?
I agree. It really appeals to a wide audience.
Yeah, Justin?
So I always find that good Japanese whiskeys have this like really good, clean construction. And this has that. And it kind of reminds me of like Ferrero Rocher dipped in like Nutella. And I really like it. I think I would like to pair this with a Boston cream donut. But wouldn't I want to pair anything one?
You do pond water with a donut. I've seen you do it.
Yeah, it's true.
Good Lord, please.
What do you think, Bob?
Well, the reason that you're not familiar with them is you're not a Scotch drinker. If you're a Scotch drinker, this is definitely a brand that you've heard of. It's been around for a while. But again, the problem is these days, especially since the 80s, there's this prejudice of whiskey drinkers against blended whiskeys. And it's stupid because
I think we're going to dispel that myth today.
Because blended whiskeys are
you know, I mean, you have people who, you know, and if they're good at it, who are taking components and blending to make even better whiskeys than they started with. And to this day, still 90-odd% of the scotch sold on planet Earth is blended scotch.
Well, it'd be nice if we had a slightly different category for what I would consider to be
artisanal
blended scotch.
Yeah.
Because I think what we're going to deal with today, as we'll see, is these are high quality artisanal whiskeys that are carefully blended to create a symphony of flavor. Mm-hmm. And that's decidedly different than when the category was invented, when it was really a way to cheapen the product and use filler to make the good single malt stretch further.
And that's the thing that you learn about Black Bowl is even back in the day when this, you know, when blending first came of age and when the blends took over the whiskey business 140 years ago, the guy who made this brand was not going, you know, 92% grain whiskey and a little, you know, just a drop or two of, he was doing a 50-50 blend. He was making a quality product then, but the folks at Duncan Taylor have acquired the brand and they're doing great work. I mean, it's
well,
a
just
lovely
the fact
whiskey.
That they have some aged blended spirits. Most of the blending houses are producing mass-produced, young, ready to get to market sooner without an age statement. But a 21 and a 40-year-old whiskey, clearly they're aging with high-quality components.
Well, I mean, there's no age statement on this, but it's lovely. I mean, it's got
it doesn't matter if it was 2 years or 5 years or 10 years or 12 years. I mean, it doesn't matter because it's good.
And this is an absolutely lovely whiskey. And the first thing I said when I tasted it, I said, if this is literally of the four we have their entry level whiskey, this is going to be a good day because it's beautiful. It's rich. It's got some lovely sweet toasted oak to it, a little bit of pear, some great toffee to it. It's got a beautiful nose, absolutely beautiful nose. And we'll be back.
Rolling clouds and crashing surf, iridescent dunes reflecting by the light of a rising, glowing moon. Seashore mesmerizing, night breeze hypnotizing, we've come across these back roads none too soon. Look to the left, to the right, keep your eyes on the road, my darling, wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows, my hand is yours forever, sweet love.
Hey, and we're back, and we were discussing the Kylo from Black Bull, blended scotch whiskey, 50% ABV. Still, again, a lovely whiskey, extremely well put together, has a beautiful nose. On the palate, it's just milk chocolate and some lovely, rich, creamy malt notes. It's got a really nice sweetness to it. It's not overly sweet, just about the right amount. This is a really pretty whiskey, and the finish on it is, it's got a pretty decent finish.
Yeah, this just keeps going.
Yeah, I mean, medium to long, well put together, great on the exhale. Well, all that said, we're going to be rating the Black Bull Kylo blended scotch whiskey, and extremely well deserved. Four sips.
That's classified.
Great job, guys. Really amazing effort.
Let's move on to our next one, and we're going to have Brent tell us about that one.
Thanks, Bob. This next one is a Black Bull 12-year blended scotch whiskey, 50% ABV or 100 proof. This blend is a blend of Highland and Speyside malts, matured in ex-bourbon oak, American oak hogsheads, and finished in ex-Oloroso European butts, and Lowland grain whiskey matured in ex-bourbon American oak hogsheads. The whiskey is non-chill filtered and is blended at a 50% malt-to-grain ratio. the color on this, all these today are a very light straw color, but this is probably the darkest of the ones that we have. It's, you know, that we have. So
yeah, slightly darker than the rest.
Right. But they're all a light, they're all a straw color and stuff. On the palate, you get this, this fruit and honey, you get a little bit of nuts to it. Just a beautiful nose, you know, beautiful nose. It's, you get some cherries, vanillas, a little toffee, a little bit of lemon on there at the end. At the palate, just a slight bit of sherry that comes off of the, on your first sip, it kind of was overpowering to me on the very first sip. And then once you took another sip, it was like, ah, that balanced it out a little bit. And then if you added a couple drops of water, it was like, whoa, this is a really nice balanced blend here. You know, you have that little bit of a chocolate, that the fruit blends in well with the sherry. Some apples, and then you get a nice long buttery finish with it's just smooth and silky when it, as you know, as it goes down. Very enjoyable, probably another underrated, you know, whiskey that I've not seen before, and you know, and I'm enjoying. So Maury,
yeah, I agree with you, Brent. I actually was hoping and expecting to like this one even more than the initial whiskey we had, which was the Kylo blended, non-age dated, this one being a little bit older, and I liked it. I think it was at least comparable. It was certainly not better, but I would say comparable. Again, a lot of the fruit, a lot of the chocolate, a lot of the roundness on the palate, the definitely no harshness or bitter tannins. Again, a really pleasant, easily approachable whiskey that I liked. I thought it was extremely well made. It followed in the spirit. Personally, I don't know what the upcharge is versus the non-age dated, but honestly, I think their initial whiskey for the price is just as good and probably a good percent less.
Yeah, expensive. I've actually, you know, when you, it's hard not to compare each of them if you do them and stuff with each other. And, you know, when you want to keep each one on their own, but I enjoyed the first one more.
I agree, and I think the first one was probably a little more cost-effective. So the first one becomes a home run. It's a little bit a step up, and yet probably a little bit cheaper. But this is definitely not one I'd pour out. I mean,
no, it's still enjoyable.
Price aside, you know, I think this is a well-made whiskey.
Yeah, it's, you know, it's just like if you're having two expressions from any distillery. Obviously, you're going to favor one over the other. It doesn't mean that you don't like them both. And Justin,
I agree.
Well, I love big butts, and I cannot lie, especially ex Oloroso European butts. They did a great job of finishing this whiskey, but not over finishing it so that it was a sherry bomb or anything like that.
It's definitely not a bomb. I would agree with you. It was done with care and restraint.
Yeah.
Yeah, that first sip of mine, I kind of felt like, oh, geez. But then, you know, I got that.
I think that blew off a little bit with time and air.
Very quickly, very, very quickly it blew off, you know?
Yeah, I mean, the mouthfeel on this one was what I enjoyed even more than the first one. The first one tasted amazing, but the mouthfeel on the second one, that silkiness that Brent alluded to is definitely there. And I would give this to a new Scotch drinker, just to introduce them to the whole Scotch whiskey thing. I think they would like it.
Yeah, it's got an oiliness to it that the other one didn't have. It's got the finish on this is the finish was pretty good on the first one. The finish on this one just goes on and on and on. It's got dark toffee on the nose, a little bit of vanilla, and then that citrusy lemony right at the tip of the nose. And then on the palate, it's like drinking warm cocoa, and it's thick. It's got a great mouth coat to it. It's got a little bit of honey on the finish. It's got some, really nice nuttiness that comes in on the back palate. And again, pretty long finish. I would say, you know, beyond medium long, really well put together whiskey. I'm not comparing the two because to me they taste entirely different, but you know, both of them so far are excellent whiskeys. So We're going to be rating the Black Bowl 12-year blended Scotch whiskey a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So we're going to move on to our next whiskey, and we're going to have Justin tell us about that one.
Black Bull 21-year blended Scotch whiskey. It's 50% alcohol by volume or 100 proof. Matured primarily in ex-American oak, this expression blends a features a blend of Highlands, Speyside, and Islay whiskeys.
Islay?
He learned
Islay,
that from,
you slay, he, we all slay.
He learned that from me. You know that, right?
Iowa.
Right, he learned that whiskey. For me, so you know.
I, for a minute there, I was thinking how nice it was to have a show without Harm on it, but now I'm starting to miss the guy.
Oh, I'm done missing him.
Yeah, I'm done too. Yeah, it was a passing thing.
Matured sherry and bourbon casks with a 55% malt to grain ratio.
Woo!
So the color on this is like a light copper. On the nose, you get red apples, tangerines, a little bit of caramel. It's lively and fresh, but with air, it kind of mellows out, but in a good way. On the palate, I got like nutmeg, cloves, a little vanilla, and a little bit of that malt sugar. On the finish, just really smooth, like chestnuts and marshmallows. It's a well done whiskey. I like the 12-year expression more, but I think this is very good. What do you think, Maury?
I agree with you. I think it was well said. I mean, this is a amazingly well-made whiskey. And again, I think the fact that they're putting out a 21-year age-stated blend tells you they're starting with good quality products. They're not just diluting and stretching their dollars. They're taking 21-year-old grain whiskey. They're using a high percentage of malted whiskey. As you can see, it's 55%. Really well made. I really liked it quite a lot. I agree with you. The first whiskey was just so stunning, and for the price, it blows me away. Certainly, the 21-year-old is fantastic, and if you're drinking on somebody else's tab, drink the 21 all year long. But I think if you're looking to stretch your whiskey dollars, that entry level one is fantastic. And this whole line is really, really pretty wonderful. And I agree with Brent. This is a line I'm not particularly familiar with. I drink a lot of scotch, but Black Bull is just not on my radar. And this has been really a pleasant surprise today.
It does put it back on your radar, something else on your radar. So when you go into the store, you can say, yeah, I had that, or I've heard somebody say good, great things about it, and I want to try it. You know, because if you're just looking at something and you don't have somebody else to tell you about it, you don't always know. It, you know, because it's just sitting on there in a shelf. Nothing's going to scream at you except for the, you know, the bull on the label with this one. And this expression is good as well. Just like spot on with the notes there. The only thing is, you know, how often are you going to get a chance to get a 21-year-old? And I think this is readily available as a 21-year-old.
Yeah. Oh, no. Compared to other 21-year-olds, it's going to be very cost-effective. But I agree with you. I think it's really well-crafted, and I really wish there were a different category for what I would consider to be artisanal high-end blends versus just the run-of-the-mill Dewars and J&B and just, you know, hint of scotch and a lot of grain.
Right. Look, I've never seen this at a bar, you know, and nobody's ever recommended it to me anywhere. So,
well, first off, you'd have to get up over the floor and look over the bar.
Oh, I have to look over the bar.
Yeah. Yeah, you don't see it from the floor. So that's your
that's
first problem.
The problem. Yeah. I just realized what his problem is.
Yeah. Usually his chin's on that brass rail at the bottom. Yeah. That's not a chin rest. That's for your foot.
Learn something new every day.
Yeah, just trying to disseminate some knowledge there. You know, pass around some information. So, but all in all, a fantastic whiskey. On the nose, I get that citrus. I get on the tip of the nose, I get a lime. That just that sort of that lime sharpness.
One little hint of lime. Yeah, that last sip.
Just at the very tip of the nose, that Like when you, I'd say when you open a bag full of lime Doritos and you get that smell, it just, that little bit of fresh sharpness and
honestly,
a little bit of greenness.
They were quite generous in sending us samples. I wish this one were a bigger sample because this was really lovely.
Yeah, but it's got that citrus note for me. I pick up that lime. There's some caramel in here on the nose. It's got a really nice little bit of funk to it, you know, so you know the age is there. But on the palate, on the palate's where it really shines.
Did you get that toasted marshmallow on the finish?
We're going through our notes, and that's part of the tasting notes from Duncan Taylor, but that's on the next page. So when I was tasting this, I go, man, I'm getting toasted marshmallow. And as I turned it over, I saw some of their tasting notes. And the first thing I saw was toasted marshmallow. I'm like, okay, good. I feel good. I got the same thing they did. Maybe I'm doing something right. Yeah, it's baking spice. It's sweetness. The sherry for me came out a bit more with just a touch of water, just a couple of drops. On the finish is long. And it's just a long, lush, sort of gentle finish with toasted marshmallow. Not the really burnt ones on the end of the stick, but just that just slight brown to it where they're nice and warm and gooey. This is really, truly a lovely whiskey. So well done, guys. Well, absolutely well done. Well, we're going to be rating the Black Bull 21-year-old blended whiskey, a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So, Bob, I think we have one more from Black Bull. Would you tell us about it?
If one must have to.
All I have is a bottle of very, very, very old scotch. Whiskey!
So, this is the Black Bull 40-year-old blended whiskey. It's 47.6% ABV, 95.2 proof. The Black Bull 40 is the flagship of the Black Bull family. The spirit in this bottling of Black Bull 40 contains whiskeys ranging from between 40 to 51 years old. 85% malt whiskey in this blend. So, that's right. You know, that tells you the quality they're shooting for. The single
almost
grain
almost begs the question why they didn't make it a single malt.
Well, it wouldn't be a single malt. It would be a blended malt.
Or a blended malt, excuse me.
So, because they had some 40 to 51-year-old stunning Scottish grain whiskey. Yeah. And the thing is 140 years ago, grain whiskey was used as filler, basically, to stretch out and also to even out the flavors and to make a consistent dram. We all know that story. We all know how that works. But over the years, especially over the last 15 or 20 years, people are starting to develop an appreciation for single grain whiskeys, especially older ones. And they're still some of the, for what you get for the quality and for the age statements you get, they're still the best deal in all of Scotland. So there's some amazing, amazing grain whiskeys out there. So they probably had a cask of something really just crazy that they wanted to put in. But this expression is non-chill filtered. Thank you. No color added. None is needed. And bottled at cask strength. Thank you. Thank you. Thank you. And contains the following single malts: Aberlour, Bonehaven, Bemore, Caperdonic, Glen Grant, Glen Farquhar, Glen Livet, Highland Park, Macallan, and then the following grain whiskies: Caledonian, Carsbridge, Girvan, Invergordon, Lochside, North of Scotland, and Port Dundas. So
that's a lot.
They put a lot of work into this.
Just to even think about, well, let me get some of this, 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 and then add a dozen more just to see what you come up with is kind of amazing in itself.
So this has got an absolutely just beautiful, bright, bright gold color to it. Just, you know, like a sunflower. On the nose, it's got just a beautiful richness and sweetness to it. It smells like, you know, when you smell it, it smells like a significant whiskey. And I get some milk chocolate, some toffee, a little bit of a sherry note to it, and a little bit of citrus. And then on the palate, again, on the palate, I'm getting the milk chocolate. I'm getting the toffee. Get a little bit of a pear note to it. Hold on. And I get a burst of nuttiness on the finish. Just, you know, just like roasted, dark roasted mixed nuts on the finish. There's a lovely fruity note on the center palate. The nuttiness goes down on the back palate. It's got a finish that just goes on and on and on. And a beautiful creamy mouth coat to it. This one's lovely. This one's really lovely. What did you think, Maury?
I couldn't agree with you more, Bob. I mean, you could go on and wax poetic about this whiskey all day long. I really thought it was fantastic. It just shows that there are really some amazing, amazing juice out there. And for them to find some of this really nice, beautiful old grain whiskey and all the other single malts that they're blending. Again, I can't say it enough. I wish there was another category for this, because this is not your grandfather's blended scotch. This is a fantastic, age-stated, beautiful whiskey that if you see it, it could be a once-in-a-lifetime experience. You should try it.
What do you think, Brent?
Yeah, so what gets me is that you have 16 different varieties that are all over 40 years old. I mean, just the comprehension of being able to acquire those and that at that age alone, it would be it almost seemed like nearly impossible.
Yeah.
Yet you've done it, and then you've blended them in a way to make them all, you know, assist each other, you know, and work cohesively to make a
the nerve that it took to take whiskeys of that age and blend them to try and make something better rather than just bottle them separately.
Right.
But they succeeded. Yeah. The sum of the parts is better.
Yeah.
This is a classic case where we're all taught to believe that a single malt is a soloist and it stands alone.
Yeah, but that's not always the case. So we'll be back. Destination, but baby, the whole elation riding down this lover's avenue. As slow as a willow blows, or as fast as the whirlwind grows, we glide beneath the stars in cobalt blue. Look to the left, to the right. Keep your eyes on the road, my darling. Wondering if we're only passing through. Open roads and open windows. My hand is yours forever, sweet love. Our eyes ahead on these back roads with a view. Hey, and we're back, and we were just finishing up talking about the Black Year 40-year-old blended Scotch whiskey. What did you think, Justin?
I thought this was like the best mocha latte I've ever had. If you could take one and age it without changing the quality and character of the milk in it, this would be it. It truly is a master blending product, because it is better than any of these aged spirits that I've had on their own. And I've never had all of them over 40 years on their own, but I've had maybe a third of them, and it's as good as any of those on their own. Wow. That's all I have to say about that.
Well, we're going to rate the Black Bull 40-year-old blended Scotch whiskey, and extremely well deserved.
Five six.
Yeah, that one was special. That one was definitely special. But again, it's Duncan Taylor, some of the best, you know, one of the best independent bottlers on earth. So, you know, they're not going to put out anything that's not good. So let's move on to our next whiskey, and we're going to have Brent tell us all about that.
Thanks, Bob. Kaiyo is a Japanese non-distiller produced founded 12 years ago by former Ashi employee Mr. Watambi. To make their whiskey, Kyle sources teaspooned new make malt whiskey from an unnamed Japanese distillery. That's kind of unique when you think about it. You know, they're taking a teaspoon of something and adding it to it.
Well,
yeah.
Figure of speech, but yeah. Yeah,
right. They aged this whiskey in Japan for a time before loading the cask onto a ship to Osaka for further aging at sea for up to 3 months. They used Mizunera oak casks from Ariake Sanyo Cooperage for their Mizunera aged products and ex-bourbon barrels for their other products. They are currently moving forward with building their own distillery in Japan to help secure their supply line. So this first one we have is the Kayo Whiskey, the single. It's 44% ABV or 88 proof, 7 years old. It's bourbon cask matured, Mizunera oak finished, 7 years old, non-chilled filtered, 100% malted barley.
Mizunera, not Mizunera.
Well, you know, if you live in Mizunera.
It's the show me state,
yeah.
People.
Yeah, that's the show me right. State. This is Mizunera, that's Japan.
The color on this, like very, very light, very light straw. These are all light straw here, but, you know, for the color. On the nose, I get a lot of floral notes coming right off the top of it. It's what it reminds me of is a dandelion in a way, which is a weed, not a flower, but you still have the, you know, note, floral notes that come off of it. On the palate, I get some lemon, honey, some white pepper. It's just got a nice, smooth little finish. Very pleasant. And enjoyed it. Maury?
You know, I agree with you, Brent. I think these whiskeys are beautiful. I was very impressed with this. I thought it was a lovely whiskey. It actually reminds me of a bourbon. I think this is a Japanese whiskey for bourbon drinkers. Beautiful mouthfeel. Nice finish. Easy drinking. I liked it a lot. And the Mizunera just adds another layer of complexity and dimension to the finish. So again, remember, this is a Mizunera finish as opposed to a Mizunera exclusively aged. So it's a little more subtle. Justin?
On the nose, I got raisins, sweet grains, cinnamon bread, cloves, and almonds. On the palate, malt, light touch of confectioner's sugar, little bit of mustard and oak. And on the finish, that mustard note just kept through, but it's like a really good deli mustard, not like Heinz yellow. Blow your nose away. How about you, Bob?
This is a very pretty whiskey. And I got the chance to get introduced to these whiskeys at Whiskey Fest in Chicago last year and was really just taken away at the quality of these. The nose is just sweet toffee and creamed honey. And
that's it, creamed honey.
Yeah. And then like wildflowers. And the longer it sits, the better the nose gets. The nose really seems to be increasing from when we first opened it. On the palate, it's sweet barley. Sweet barley with just a hint of white pepper spice. I get a little bit of an apple note on it, especially in the mid palate. And then again, more and more flowers, white flowers, wildflowers. Got a medium to long finish. A really well put together whiskey. And I remember trying this in Chicago and thinking, wow, this is really good. We need to talk about this one on the show. So our rating for the Kayo, the single, is going to be a well-deserved 3 sips.
Interesting.
So we're going to go on to our next one, and we're going to have Justin tell us about that one.
So the next whiskey we're going to talk about is Kayo Whiskey Mizunera. It's 43% alcohol by volume, or 86 proof, and it's a Mizunera oak, non-age stated, non-chill filtered, 100% malted barley. On the nose, I got that signature Mizunera oak note. I got some plums, white grapes, and some roses. On the palate, nice oak and lemons. On the finish, it was medium and pleasant. What did you think, Maury?
I like this whiskey. I love Mizunara. I think it's a fun and exciting wood product. It's a little hard to talk about this whiskey without not talking about its big brother, the cask strength Mizunara, which comes next, which I found to be this whiskey turned up to 11. Mm. So I like this whiskey quite a lot. It's beautiful. It's light. It's feminine. It's pleasant. I called it an all-day sipper. I really thought that it's just something that's very approachable. And if you've never tried a Mizunara whiskey, this is a great place to start. The finish was a little bit short. It's a really nice place to start. And as I said, if you like this, just buckle up and hold on for the next one.
Yeah. A very Japanese whiskey. That's how I'd describe it. I mean, that subtleness, the layers of flavor. And it's a different style of whiskey from, you know, it's like the difference when we do a Canadian whiskey episode or we do an Irish episode, you know. Yeah, we always have to rework your brain to go, okay, we were just drinking scotch. No, now we're in Japan. Click. It's a different level. But this one is so pretty, so well made. You get that rich sandalwood from the Mizunara oak aging, which really you only get with Mizunara oak. Almost a sweet cereal and almost like a coconut milk note on the nose and then on the palate.
Mm. But it's super light and ethereal. It just sort of dances on your palate. Yeah. Very feminine.
And that Mizunara, that sandalwood just sort of coats and rolls around your tongue and just sort of dances. I mean, it's a beautiful, beautiful whiskey. I get that Mizunara finish. But this isn't Mizunara finish. This is Mizunara age. But I get the Mizunara on the finish. White chocolate fudge. It's very creamy. It's a beautiful whiskey. What do you think, Brent?
Yeah. I enjoyed this, you know, and I'm not much of a Japanese whiskey drinker. Is, you know, I've had a lot more scotch than Japanese whiskey. I know this is what Japanese whiskey is different, you know, but this one for me, very middle of the palate. Maury mentioned that it was a short finish, and I thought, you know, on that first sip, it was a short finish, but then as I had a few more sips, it was, you know, the finish got much longer. Like I said, very middle of the palate. I got that light citrus. Everything was nice and mild. There was nothing that was overpowering on one side or another. So it had great balance with all of its, with all the flavors within it. Enjoyable.
Let's see what George thinks. What did you think, George?
Oh my!
Well, that's what George thought. So, an absolutely lovely whiskey. So we're going to be rating the Kaya whiskey Mizunara finish, or Mizunara, a well-deserved 4 sips.
That's classified.
So Maury, tell us about our next whiskey.
All right. Thank you, Bob. I'm excited to talk about this one. The next whiskey is the Kaya.
It's cask strength and Mizunara. I know you're excited.
Excited. I mean, how could you not be excited? Cask strength, Mizunara. Interestingly, again, like one of the Red Bull, Black Bulls, the proof is relatively low for a cask strength. Mm-hmm. This one comes at a 53% ABV or 106 proof, which, again, as we were talking about...
Japan, not Kentucky.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. No, the cask strength on the last Kaya was only 88 proof. Mm-hmm. And so that's interesting. Anyway, this whiskey is delicious. It's definitely a step up from the 80 proof. It's flavor turned up to 11. It's got a nice pale color. The only thing I could comment in the negative column about this whiskey is, for me, on this day, at this time, this location, I found the nose to be absent. I got just zero nose.
It started off absent to me. I was like, okay, great. Where is this? This is a cask strength. Where is the nose?
Right.
I did the same thing.
I was just thinking there's something wrong with it.
Just add that drop of water and everything popped in the nose for me.
Put a drop of water and it absolutely opens up.
Yeah, that nose just popped. It's like, oh my God, there's where it was. It was,
you know,
hitting.
You're right. Yeah, I didn't water it because honestly, at the proof level, it was not a big deal. And I didn't put any water in. I thought the palate was delicious. I thought the finish was medium and long. It's got everything you want in a Mizunara Japanese whiskey. This is the prototypical Mizunara oak finish Japanese whiskey, bar none. I thought it was just...
And then just add that drop of water and poof, comes that sandalwood. Yeah.
Yeah. So I love this whiskey. To me, this is one of the best things we've had today. I really liked it. Justin?
So on the nose, I got lemons, sesame seeds, mung beans. On the palate,
I missed the mung bean.
It's subtle. And on the palate, I definitely got the Mizanara oak note that you would expect from an expression like this, and some intense lemon. And the finish, before the water, was long but flat. After a drop of water, and I mean just a little drop from a dropper, the finish just goes on and on and on.
Mm-hmm.
Almost enough that they should put it on the label.
It needed just that kick to get it going.
Yeah.
This is like the poster child for add water.
Yeah. It is.
I must admit.
Almost put it on the label.
How often do we say it?
It wasn't hot. I didn't feel any compelling reason to add water. But when I added water, I took it to a whole other level.
I mean, me and Harm are like mental about it, but everyone on this show, how often? And I talk to people all over the country when we go to various whiskey events and everything, and I preach to them, please. Please, if you listen to our show, every other show, at some point we will say, please add some water to your whiskey. Your worst case scenario is that glass will get slightly watered down. Your best case scenario is, man, it's going to completely change your whiskey, and it's going to change your life. So what'd you think,
Brent? Yeah, a lot of people find that water is a sign of weakness, but I don't see that at all. I see water as a sign of maturity, enhancement, and it can only do good things.
Yeah, and you're not like adding water. You're not adding like a whole bunch of what you're setting
drops.
A drop or something just to make it pop, you know. But yeah, again, this one reminded me like dandelions in that field of dandelions on the nose. It's, you know, I got the cherries, the honeydew, the melon. I got a little bit of like a peppery spice, and you know, good thing for the back end of the palate. Lovely whiskey.
Yeah, beautiful. Well, we're going to be rating the Kaya Whiskey Cask Strength Mizanara, a well-deserved 5 sips.
Oh my goodness.
Yes. Yeah.
And that leaves us with a little bit of time we've got left to talk about our last one from Kaya. And this is the one I was excited about because it's cool. It's weird. It's different. It's the Kaya the Koori Chestnut, which is 48% ABV, 96 proof, non-aged statement, non-chill filter, 100% malted barley. This whiskey is not finished. It is aged from day one for a full 7 years in Japanese Koori chestnut wood barrels. I don't know a single distillery on earth that is aging a new make whiskey anywhere in chestnut wood barrels. And then they take this out to sea for 3 months. So,
which just adds a whole nother twist.
Yeah, it's just like, okay. And I hesitate to call it a geek's whiskey because it's sometimes geek whiskeys are just...
It's a geek whiskey.
Really off, and you go like, oh, what the... This is so good. It's just...
If you want something that's going to mystify your friends, that
blow their minds, and you go, try this, and what do you think it is? And they'll go, I have no idea. I like it, but I don't know what it is.
I couldn't find words to describe it.
Yeah. It's just, it's rich wood. There's a lot of wood here, but it's not like you think an over-oaked bourbon or an over-oaked scotch where it's too much. There's a lot of wood in it, but it doesn't overpower it. On the nose, I get the wood. And when we first opened it, I got almost a spearmint in the tip of the nose. And then on the palate, really nice, just creamy, a mild spice, and just your head goes pow. What is that? What'd you think, Brent?
Yeah, I got wood and orange on the nose. And when I had it on the palate, I was like, this is like drinking a soft wood of some kind.
Yeah. If you took wood and turned it into liquid.
Actually, if you add water, I got a lot more orange when I added water.
The water. Yeah.
Yep.
The spearmint blew off on the nose and turned orange for me.
Correct.
Yep.
It's just a whiskey that you drink. You're like, I can't put my finger on it. This is so weird and unusual and unique.
But usually weird is not also good. This is good.
This is weird, but
weird. Yeah, so, and if you see this one, I think they made one run of this. If you see one of these, grab it. Even the label is made out of wood.
Really?
Yeah, it's very, very cool. What'd you think, Justin?
Smells like an inside of a drawer, but in a great way.
Yeah, it's like your mom's hope chest. It's very, very cool. If you see this, grab one. So... Well, that's all the time we have for today. I want to thank our co-hosts for joining us today. Thank you, Brent.
It's been a pleasure. Some stuff I never knew about and some stuff that I will enjoy.
You drank scotch from two different continents and you're actually happy.
Well, right. You know, but that's because nobody told me about him before. Now that...
Now the only reason you know he's happy is he's the usual pantsless.
Don't you look it up with them negative waves.
Oh, Lord. Well, thank you, Maury.
Thank you, Bob. Been a great day.
And thank you, Justin.
Thank you. So good to be here as always. Yay.
Well, for Sips, Suds, and Smokes, this is Madman Bob. We thank you for joining us. Remember, life is too short to drink bad whiskey, and fortunately, we didn't have to do it today.
I am very aroused.
And I am drinking some more of the chestnut.
You're like a termite with wood in your mouth.
We hope you enjoyed this episode. If you're listening to us online, do yourself a favor and tap.
Just tap it in.
The subscribe button.
Give it a little tappy. Tap, tap, tap-a-roo.
The easiest way to listen to our show is to ask Siri, Alexa, Google, Uncle Larry, or whoever it is that talks to you on your phone. Play podcast Sip, Suds, and Smokes. We love your feedback, and you can reach us at info@sipsudsandsmokes.com. Our tasting notes flow out on Twitter and Instagram with our handle @sipsudsandsmokes, and our Facebook page is always buzzing with lots of news. You'll also be able to interact with the thousands,
millions, and millions
of other fans on those social media platforms. Do us a favor. Take the time to rate this episode if you're listening to us online. That's a big help to us, and we get to see your feedback as well. Come back, join us for another episode, and keep on sipping.
This has been a One Tan Hand production of Sip, Suds, and Smokes, a program devoted to the appreciation of some of the finer slices of life. From the Dude in the Basement Studios, your host, the Good Old Boys, will see y'all next time.